Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
This series called Heroes, Those Who Risked It All for God's Glory, not our glory, but to bring glory to God, to bring awareness to God. I've always thought that it is strange that we celebrate awareness. Like, we know the ravages of cancer, but we have Cancer Awareness Month so that we bring everybody's thoughts on some of the plights that we are facing. Well, this is to bring awareness to continuing faith education, meaning this: none of us have arrived. If you're in this room or watching online tonight, all of us have room for our faith in Christ to grow. The more of His presence you get in, the more your faith is going to grow. The more you talk to God, the more your faith is going to grow. The more word you get in you, somebody say amen, your faith is going to grow. Faith is not really, here's the definition of faith that I skipped over in my notes last week. Faith is not really about us getting all we want. I know we talk about that a lot. Like, if you want it, just have faith and you can get it. Faith is not just about us getting what we want, but rather it is about us getting all God wants us to have. That is why we need to read the Word of God so that we are confident in what God desires to give believers. In this series, we talked last session, we're going to awaken faith. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 talks about the measure of faith that every man, every woman is born with. You've got faith. You have more faith than you think you do. Tonight, we're going to jump into building faith, increasing faith. The next couple sessions, we'll talk about unleashing the faith that you have built and what faith looks like in real life. We will get to the Hall of Faith, the Hall of Fame of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. But just to recap in just a few moments what we discussed last session, we want this series to move believers in this room and that are watching online tonight from those that just attend a house of faith to a place where they live a life of faith. We don't want the 90 minutes on Wednesday night to be the highlight of your week. We want this to be a great moment. We want you to be encouraged, inspired, and in some cases challenged to do better, to be more for God. However, I want Thursday afternoon at 4:46 p.m. to be an amazing faith move in your life. We don't want to confine it to the campus of a church, but faith in real life is an exciting thing. So we talked about awakening faith, Romans chapter 12, verses 2 and 3, and be not conformed to this world. So one way we could say that is don't be faithless. Another way we could say it is put your faith in Christ, not in anything else. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, whether we realize it or not, one of the reasons we showed up here tonight is to get our mind right. It's to renew ourselves in worship. That's why tonight when worship was going on, there were people that had their hands uplifted, eyes closed, and it didn't matter what it sounded like or looked like tonight. Why? Because they were talking to God. They were communing with God tonight and renewing their mind and their faith. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. For I say through the grace given unto man that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. This passage deals with our mind and our thought life. Renewing our mind produces transformation. But in verse 3, the writer of Romans, Paul, quickly tells us that faith can change the way that we think. This revelation alone, church, should change our confession. When our confession changes, our life will change. And realize when we confess the Word of God, what God says is more powerful than any thought we could ever have. And we left last session in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Can I encourage you to quit fighting the world's war with the world's weapons and realize that there is a greater way? that Jesus Christ came to give us a new and living way. Hebrews says it's where the church name came from, that there is a better way. It's a new way. It's a living way. His name is Jesus. Not only did he give us a better way, he gave us better weapons. Why? Because when the world fights, they fight dirty. They fight practically. They fight all of these different ways. But it's amazing that the spiritual weapons of God, what they can accomplish. The weapons we fight are not weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power. Somebody say divine power. See, when we operate in faith, we tap into the divine power that Jesus Christ died to unleash on this earth. Divine power in the NIV, verse 4 says, to demolish strongholds. Do you know that faith was given to us not to just shout about it in church, not to just worship, but your faith can literally bring down strongholds in your life, things that are preventing you from getting to where God has called you to, things that have been preventing you from living the life that God has called us to live. He said, I've given you faith, and you don't have to be there on a Wednesday night at 7:35, but on a Friday morning, you can pull down strongholds. On a Saturday night, you can pull down strongholds. Verse 5, we demolish arguments. We live in an argumentative generation. We argue about everything. We argue about politics, but we will argue about sports teams. We will argue. It's amazing. I'm sure some people that complain about the haze and the lights and how loud we run this place on Sundays, I'm sure they were the first ones to complain about. It's so different tonight. Could it be you just aren't going to be happy with anything? Jesus could lead us in worship and preach a sermon, and you'd still be talking about. Enjoy the journey, y'all. Roll with the punches. Punch back if you have to. Quit being argumentative. Quit being negative. We've all got that one friend in our group that is ultra negative. You say, I don't have that friend in my group. Well, I've got news for you. You are that friend. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. Here's a revelation. Write this down if you're taking notes. Anybody that comes against you is not your enemy. Anybody that comes against the knowledge of God is your enemy. Let me say that again. They come at Brandon. That's not my enemy. That's life. It rains on the unjust and the just alike. There's going to be people that love you, people that don't care for you as much, people that hate you, but they're not really your enemies. Your enemies are God's enemies, the ones that literally rise up against the knowledge of God. That is why when they come with things that are contrary to God's word, which is our foundation for our faith, that is why we have to come back at them, not with our intellect, not with our philosophy personally or our opinion, but we come at them with the word of God. We demolish those arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive, here we go, every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Remember when you did something wrong growing up to your sibling and your mom or your dad would make you apologize? That apology was never sincere, but it kept you from getting beat, whooped. Say you're sorry, sorry. Say it like you mean it, sorry. Here's the thing. God says any thought that rises up against the knowledge of God, he said, take that thought into captivity and make it bow. Manipulate that thought until it matches the word of God and bows to the obedience of Christ. You say, why is that important? I'm glad you asked, church. It is important for us to take every thought into captivity, because if it's not a thought that's going to lead to life, if it's not a thought that's not going to lead to love, if it's a thought that's not going to lead to God's given future for our lives, then it is an enemy against what God is wanting to do. And I can't let that thought sit between my ears, because that thought is going to rob me. It's going to rob you of faith. But when I take that thought and I say, nope, that's negative. Nope, that's not what the word of God says. Nope, that's part of the curse. Nope, that was the BC Brandon. Nope, that's not for me. When I take that thought and I say, yep, but if I flip that thought on its ear and I add a little faith to it here and I twist it over here and I take that word out over here and I add some faith right here and I make it match what God said. Every thought we take into captivity. Here's the thing, church. I don't care how saved you get, you're still going to have some crazy thoughts. And you're going to have to take those thoughts. You're going to have to captivate them. And then you're going to have to start hitting them with the word of God until they line up or they get out. Until they line up or until they get out. We take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That's what we do when we awaken faith. Let's talk about build faith. Hebrews 11:1, our theme text. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. That word substance in the Greek comes from a word upostasis. U-P-O-S-T-A-S-I-S. It's not on the wall yet. It means a support. One translation says a supportive beam. Another translation says a foundation. So now faith is your support beam. Now faith in Christ is your foundation. Before you can speak faith, you have to be able to stand in faith. Before we can speak faith, we have to have a firm foundation that we know that when we put our feet down, that there is nothing that comes at us. There is nothing that attacks us. There is nothing that tries to attach itself to us that is going to undo the foundation that we stand on. So now faith, not tomorrow, not yesterday, but Wednesday night faith. Now faith is the substance, the foundation. One translation actually says, it's the platform. Isn't that awesome? That your faith in Christ is the foundation, but it is the platform. Anytime there is a platform, everybody's getting ready to watch something. Don't miss it. See, when I say in faith, I believe such and such. In faith, I believe that cancers have to dissolve. In faith, I believe God is going to supply my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. In faith, though the weapon is formed against me, it will not work. It will not prevail. In faith, if God before me, no one can be against me. When I say that in faith, what I'm really doing is saying, God, I know my support system doesn't come from without. It comes from within. But God, I am setting the stage. I'm setting the platform. Everybody is watching. All eyes, not on me, but I've set a platform for God to step out of heaven into my life. And so I want to encourage you, when you speak faith, you're building a platform. I was thinking about this just today as I was going back through these notes for today, and we've been making these changes to the platform and into some of our technology. Little did the men and women that worked on this building know that when they were building this platform, what kind of church this was. They didn't know that when they put the plywood on the front of that section of the stage, they didn't know they were building an altar. They didn't know they were building a place where somebody was going to get saved. They didn't know that when they built these steps, they didn't know that thousands of people since 2005 would kneel at these steps and there would be tear stains when they got up through a transformation that God did. What are you talking about? I'm talking about they built in faith knowing that somebody was going to stand on this platform, that something was going to transpire. They just didn't know how powerful it was. I am here to tell some faith people in the room today, you're building something. We're building something. Every word spoken in faith, every declaration in faith, every stand of faith we make, we are building something. But I want to tell you, even I don't know how big God is about to move. And I want to encourage you in this room. Sometimes it's a brick of faith. Sometimes you're just laying that next one down. Sometimes you're just adding to what has already been built. But I am here to tell you, you are building a platform, and God himself is getting ready to step out of heaven onto that platform and show himself strong in your life. Let's talk about building faith. Mark chapter 11, verse 20. In the morning as they went along, and the they is Jesus and his disciples, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, exclamation point. That's important. Peter is excited, which Peter is an excitable person in Scripture. We can see that. They're walking along, and they pass by a tree that the day before Jesus had cursed. Why did he curse it? Because it wasn't fruitful. You want to hear more about that? Come on Sundays. That's our fruit series. He said, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. This wasn't even in my notes, but it just jumps out of me at the text today. Sometimes your faith is not to produce something, it's to do away with something. Sometimes your faith is not calling healing into your body, it's cursing cancer. Oh, come on now. My faith curses cancer so that it withers up and dissipates in my life. And that same faith calls healing to take place in my life. That same faith causes demons to run and demons to tremble, but it also causes the angelic host to come and minister to us just like they ministered to Jesus. I want to encourage you today. Your faith is stopping so much and it is starting so much more. Your faith is holding things at bay and it's opening the door for God to bring in what he said he would bring in. So Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. Talking about building faith. Peter is surprised. Why is Peter surprised? Check this out. Peter looks at Jesus, and he is measuring Jesus by Peter. Never compare Jesus to you. Always compare you to Jesus. He is shocked, check this out, that Jesus' words work. Jesus is just walking by. He said, there's a fig tree. Let's see if it's fruitful. When he doesn't find fruit on the tree, he curses the tree. He says, you'll never have an opportunity to produce fruit again. And after that, then he keeps walking. I don't even know if Jesus stopped. He just cursed that fig tree, kept walking. The next day, they're coming right back by that fig tree. Peter says, look, Jesus, the one you cursed, it is withered up and died. He was shocked that Jesus' word worked. Church, never be shocked when the word works. The word of God always works. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will always stand. It will always stay. And if there's a problem in my life, it's never his word. It might be my word. Or even if I'm saying the same things that Jesus says and it's not working, then it all comes back to my faith. This is something that my mind has had trouble grasping for the last 22 years of my faith walk. Isn't it amazing that every time God speaks, whatever he says happens? You talk about a level of faith. The earth doesn't know what to do until God says for it to do something. While God is speaking, we speak hoping that it produces. God, I pray right now. I feel this thing in my body. The doctor said they see this. And God, I just pray right now. According to your word, Lord, it says that I can be healed by your stripes. I'm made whole. And then when we finish that prayer, we say things in our mind, maybe not with our lips, but we say things like this. I hope it worked. God never hoped his word worked. His word always worked. Get this. God says, let there be light. When God said, let there be all, every atom in the world was like this, waiting for what he was about to say. If he had said, let there be water, water molecules would have just formed. Anything, let there be trees, trees would have formed. Let there be rhinoceroses, rhinoceros would have formed. Let there be man, Adam would have formed. But he said, let there be light. When he said, let there be everything in humanity, what are you going to say? Drop that next word, and we are going to produce whatever you say. Can I encourage you with this thought? What does the world do when you speak? Do they say, you hear that? Living like that, acting like that, and then thinking his word's going to change anything. Cracks open his app once a week at church and really thinks that word on Thursday night is going to work. I want to encourage you. The word of God always works. This is what Jesus said. Jesus had a way of putting Peter in his place without ever having to put Peter in his place. He said, look, Rabbi, the fig tree you cursed, has withered. Peter is surprised. God's word always works, but he's still surprised. If your words don't work, it's a faith issue. Verse 22, this is what Jesus says. Four words change your life. Have faith in God. He says, your words work. Look, what you said was going to happen, happened. He didn't say, yep, my words work. He said, have faith in God. It's never going to be your word problem. It's always going to be a faith issue. Your words don't work, check your faith, not your words. Check your faith, not your words. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, check your faith, not your words. Four words that seem so simple yet will revolutionize your life. Have faith in God. Then he goes on to say, verse 23, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Let me say that again. Truly, I tell you, if anyone, that's you, that's me. If anyone says, which means now it's anyone, but you got to open up your mouth to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes. Now we're talking faith. Anyone, that's all of us, that says, now we got to open up our mouth, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes. Says, anything you say, it, not might, not could, not if, not maybe, it will be done for them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, if we really believe this, we'd pray more. Whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it. I pray it, and then I act like I've already received it. He said, anything you pray, anything. That means if you pray 3 minutes, you better make sure those are the best 3 minutes you got. Because those 3 minutes are going to produce in your Thursday, your Friday. Those 3 minutes are going to produce at this church, in your family, in your marriage. He said, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. So if he says, Jesus, your words work, my words have not worked, Jesus says, have faith in God. If God's word always works, then we must become students of his word, not tied to Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, not tied to a women's event or a men's event once a month, but we are in the word every day, unwrapping things, diving deep, doing Google searches, looking up what the Greek means, looking up what this means, looking at the context, going back to things you've already thought you knew, and God unwraps another onion layer, peels off another layer off that onion and shows you something different. I am here to tell you, you might need faith, but you need a strong foundation of the word of God. And when he says we're going to build faith, he said have faith in God. But Peter was perplexed that his words worked, which leads me to this point that Peter had been saying things, but they were not working because he did not have faith. Get ready to close here in just a second. These are two of my Bibles. I counted today. I've got, I think it's 43 Bibles in my office. All kinds of translations. I got Rod Parsley's Breakthrough Bible and all these cool Bibles. I don't want anybody to be offended by what I'm going to do. Because this is just paper, y'all. The Bible says the Jesus is the Word, right? John 1:1. If I'm going to speak in faith, I can't speak from a place with no foundation. That's why maturity or mature Christians tend to get more things done. Because not that they're speaking from a place of experience, but they're speaking from what they know. Not what they've heard, not what they've read, but they have proved it. So I can say, in the name of Jesus, cancer be gone. Great declaration. But there's no word as a foundation. But if I stand on the word and I say things like this, by your stripes, I am made whole. You are the great physician.
And I believe from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, the healing virtue that you paid for on the cross, every last lash you took on your back, 39 lashes, God, on your back with a cat of nine tails. God, you lived to tell the story. You went down, God, in that grave and got up. And because you did all of that, I can stand here and declare, cancer, you have to go. I'm not just saying something. I'm not hoping that my words work. I'm founded on the word of God. I've got 6,000 years of testimony that I'm standing on. I've got Peter. I've got Paul's word that encouraged me. I've got hundreds of miracles that I'm gleaning from. When I glean from those miracles and I stand on the word, I begin to build my foundation. The problem is, we're good like this on Sunday, and then we're back over here on Monday, and we're praying some prayers, we're declaring some things, but we've lost the foundation. This is a Jesus church. You're always going to hear the word preached. There's so many churches that are just showing up and not doing much. Nobody's getting saved. No miracles are happening. And it's not because they're faithless, but it's because their foundation isn't near as strong as it should be. Even the word says this: you should be teachers, but you can't teach because you're still on milk. See, some of us, we want the bishop to pray for us. We want the pastor to declare for us. I'm here to tell you, you've got the same word that I've got, and you can stand on it at any moment, and you can declare the goodness of the Lord. You can declare the promise of God. And if you are going to get into the hall of faith, if you're going to have a hall of fame, a faith legacy that you leave to your children and your children's children, we must stand on the foundation of the word of God, that what he said is still happening in our lives. What he promised is still available. What he did is still applicable. If you're believing that in this place tonight, I want everybody to stand on your feet. But if you're ready to get a foundation that is going to serve you on days other than Sundays and Wednesdays. One of my prayers coming out of COVID was, God, give me a fresh desire for your word. Because I've been living this thing so long that you can get caught up into, I know. Recite those 10 or 12 favorite verses I've got in my head, but God says, no, let's dive deep. I look back on my social media this week and I saw the memory, deep calls deep, and God gave me this a few years ago, that the shallow never understands the deep. There's a lot of people who are not going to understand your faith walk. That's okay. They're going to see the testimony. They're going to see what happens on the platform of your life when God shows up because of what you've said. I want to invite people from their seat to join us in this altar right now and say, Pastor Brandon, I'm on a faith journey, and I need that faith. I need my faith in Christ to grow. I want that word that is preached. I don't want it to just be preached at me. I want to hide it in my heart so that I will not sin against God, that I'll become what God has called me to be. Paola, you're the first one to break the ice in this altar. You're a faith-filled woman, but I'm here to tell you, there's greater faith in front of you. Aslan, there's greater faith in front of you. James, great faith in front of you. Dive into depths that you've never been to. The farther you build that foundation, the higher you can go. We had to run the foundation of this church deep because God put that tower on the front of this church, gave Bishop that vision. That cross in the middle tower goes over 100 feet, so we had to dig deep. I'm here to encourage people in this altar. Yesterday's faith is not going to produce tomorrow's promise. Yesterday's faith is not going to produce tomorrow's promise. We need a deeper faith. We need to build faith. We need to increase faith. I didn't get there tonight, but that's the next. We increase faith, God. Lord, but those that are in this altar tonight, much like Peter, We're surprised when your word works for others, for you. But God, let us get our eyes off of that and let us get our eyes, God, back on what you've called us to do. Let faith be enlarged, Jesus. Let faith grow. Let faith be fortified in this room tonight. Let faith be fortified in those that are weak. Let them say, I am strong in Jesus' name. That's a faith declaration. I'm more than a conqueror in Jesus' name. That's a faith declaration. If you're in this altar, I want you to just get a faith declaration and start declaring it right now.